Ready for some vitamin D?
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles.
Johnny Nash lets us know the sun can help us with that. Yeah, a bright sunshiny day. That sun can help us with that vitamin D, everybody. And that's why you are with me right now. We're about the business of getting some vitamin D. And of course, those of you who have heard me talk about this before know that one way we can get it, it's not the only way, but is a very significant way, is to spend some time in the sun. And Medical News Today is letting us know that there are some serious benefits from getting that vitamin D. Now, in order to do this, be fair about this, I want to first give you the benefits, and they are tremendous. But I'm also going to be letting you know at some point about some of the concerns about vitamin D too, but more particularly, not just vitamin D, but too much vitamin D. Yeah, too much of anything. And you know, as Homo sapiens, a lot of times we figure if some is good, a whole lot is real good. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, too much of anything. Come on, how many of you have read or maybe even found out through experience that too much water is bad for you? Yeah, too much of anything. Check this out, though. There are quite a few studies proclaiming the benefits of vitamin D, including when it comes to some serious conditions. Vitamin D is a nutrient, and it's synthesized in our skin when our skin is exposed to sunlight. But vitamin D is also present in some foods. Now, again, get that now. And this is the reason that so many people say we need to spend time in the sun. We're out there in that sun. Vitamin D is coming to us from the sunlight and is being synthesized in our skin. And as it turns out, sunlight is actually the best source of vitamin D. It's not only a source, it is the best source of vitamin D. But in the winter months, the National Institutes of Health recommend not only spending a little bit of time in the sun so you can get some sun's rays giving you vitamin D, but also take care of those vitamin D levels by eating vitamin D containing foods each day. These can include oily fish, fortified milk. I know you're going to love this one. Beef liver. That's right. Beef liver, ladies and gentlemen. Get that vitamin D. How about egg yolks, mushrooms, fortified breakfast cereals? Not all cereals are necessarily bad. Fortified breakfast cereals can give us vitamin D. So we know that we can get vitamin D from certain foods. We know that if we're spending some time in the sun, and it does not have to be 2 hours worth either, some time in the sun, our skin is going to synthesize vitamin D. But then comes the question, what exactly does vitamin D do? Well, scientists know that vitamin D is essential for many aspects of maintaining good health, and that deficiency of vitamin D is linked with problems for both physical and mental health. I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't know until some years ago, I don't know, 10, 12 years or so ago, that vitamin D was necessary, period. But then to learn that not only is it good for physical health, but it's good for mental health as well. How many of you remember at least one of the benefits that we can gain from taking vitamin D? Okay, cool. All right. Okay, now let me mention cancer, and I want you to give me two different types of cancer that may have the risk reduced if we are consuming specifically vitamin D3. Okay? Cancer. Yes. Men and women can benefit from it. Men can have a reduced risk of prostate cancer, while women can have a reduced rate of breast cancer. Studies are suggesting, notice this, and it's amazing to me how various nutrients work together. Vitamin D helps to regulate the levels of calcium in our bodies, and as a result, strengthening our bones and preventing bone weakening conditions such as osteoporosis. Studies are suggesting that vitamin D might have protective benefits against heart failure, diabetes, I mentioned cancer, respiratory tract infections, autoimmune disease, and even, get this one, ladies and gentlemen, hair loss. You notice I said ladies and gentlemen because although hair loss is more common for men than it is for women, hair loss is a problem for some women as well. Vitamin D might help protect against that. And surprisingly, large number of people have insufficient levels of vitamin D. For instance, according to one study, more than 40% of adults in the U.S. are deficient in vitamin D. Because of its prevalence, it's important to determine what the public health implications of this epidemic might be. Symptoms of vitamin D deficiency can vary between individuals, but they typically include pain in the joints, muscles, or bones, fatigue, breathing problems, and low mood or seasonal affective disorder. I know that a number of you have heard me talk about seasonal affective disorder a number of times as we have talked about seasonal affective disorder or SAD during probably the majority of our winters, or at least as we have approached winter. Seasonal affective disorder can be caused, of course, by the lack of sunlight, but it can also be caused by vitamin D deficiency. So let's take a closer look at some of the health benefits that we can gain, or if you prefer to look at it this way, illnesses that might be avoided if we partake of enough vitamin D on a regular basis. How about vitamin D and heart failure? Its relationship to heart failure. Several studies have suggested that vitamin D could offer protective benefits against cardiovascular illness, but scientists have yet to pinpoint what mechanisms drive that association. Recently, Medical News Today reported on a study that used a mouse model to investigate how a type of vitamin D called 125-dehydroxyvitamin D3 affects heart cells. In particular, the researchers looked at the cells that are responsible for developing scar tissue following a heart attack. This is called cardiac colony-forming unit fibroblasts. Cardiac colony-forming unit fibroblasts, also known as CCFUFs for short. CCFUFs, cardiac colony-forming unit fibroblasts. The CCFUFs are an important area of study because when heart tissue is scarred, the heart has a harder time pumping blood, and that can lead to heart failure. The researchers behind the study found that vitamin D actually inhibited the action of CCFUFs, which prevented scar tissue from building around the hearts of the mice in the study, potentially preventing blockages in the cardiovascular system. With further study, The authors contended that vitamin D could prove to be an exciting low-cost addition to current treatments, and they're hoping to progress these findings into clinical trials for humans. All right. How about the connection between vitamin D and cancer? Breast cancer and bowel cancer have both been linked with cases of vitamin D deficiency in recent studies. One of these analyzed data from two randomized clinical trials and a prospective cohort study. And the researchers found that high levels of vitamin D were inversely associated with risk of breast cancer among women who were cancer-free at baseline. According to the study results, the higher the levels of vitamin D, the lower the risk of breast cancer. Now keep in mind, as I suggested before, too much of anything. All right, so we don't want to put too much in order to get good out of whatever it is we are ingesting. But that said, the higher the levels of vitamin D, the lower the risk of breast cancer. Don't worry, as we progress through this discussion, I will be letting you know what are some good numbers to keep in mind as we talk about how much is too much. I don't want to leave you hanging there. All right, so when it comes to the connection between vitamin D and breast cancer, the relationship remains significant even after the results were adjusted for factors such as age, body mass index, intake of calcium supplements, and smoking habits. The researchers calculated that people whose levels of vitamin D fall below those specified in the current guidelines have a 31% increased risk of developing bowel cancer. By contrast, those with vitamin D levels above the current recommended levels were 22% less likely to develop that cancer. Now, you've heard me talk about belly fat. What's the connection between vitamin D and belly fat? Well, there's another study, a recent one, that examined a previously observed link between obesity and lower levels of vitamin D, focusing in particular on how different types of body fat might interact with vitamin D. The study authors reported that having excess belly fat was linked with lower levels of vitamin D. The strong relationship between increasing amounts of abdominal fat and lower levels of vitamin D suggests that individuals with larger waistlines are at a greater risk of developing vitamin D deficiency and should consider having their vitamin D levels checked. I think that it's a great idea to have your vitamin D levels checked anytime you have your physical exam done, period. But especially so if you have a fairly large waistline. The study wasn't able to prove whether a deficiency in vitamin D causes fat to be stored around the belly, or if having belly fat somehow contributes to a deficiency in the vitamin D. In other words, which causes which? Does vitamin D deficiency cause belly fat, or does belly fat cause vitamin D deficiency? Which comes first? The researchers say that future studies will attempt to determine cause and effect in this relationship. Now, how about this? The relationship between vitamin D and Alzheimer's disease. A systematic review from researchers in Australia recently attempted to settle the debate surrounding vitamin D's ability to protect against Alzheimer's. The systematic review analyzed more than 70 studies looking at the association, and they concluded that there was no significant association between vitamin D deficiency and risk of Alzheimer's. Intriguingly, the authors did suggest that, based on their systematic review, there may be an association between exposure to the sun's ultraviolet rays and protection against multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's, but that this may be independent of vitamin D production. The author said that further studies would be needed to confirm these links and identify the mechanism responsible for such associations. How many of you, especially in light of the fact that I have mentioned before that it's a good idea for us to check with our doctors, we go in for our annual physical exam and they're drawing blood to check this, to check that, make sure that we ask them, if they're not already doing so, to also check our vitamin D levels. It's interesting that vitamin D3 can be so important in helping with so much of our body's health from head to toe. How about this? The association between vitamin D and chronic pain. Over the years, some scientists have theorized that low levels of vitamin D might either cause chronic pain or worsen chronic pain. And again, low levels of vitamin D. It's not that the vitamin D will necessarily cause or worsen chronic pain, but low levels of it. Keep in mind, though, that we're going to be talking, as I've mentioned before, about the impact that way too much vitamin D can have on the body. Okay, in 2015, a group of scientists set out to collate existing evidence to examine the relationship between vitamin D and chronic pain. And one of the questions is this: could vitamin D ease chronic pain? The resulting Cochrane review, updated in 2015, explains that observational and circumstantial evidence suggests that there may be a role for vitamin D deficiency in the cause or the etiology of chronic painful conditions. The team scrutinized the findings from a number of studies, and following the analysis, they concluded that the available scientific evidence is just not strong enough at this point to support a connection between vitamin D and chronic pain. Large beneficial effect of vitamin D across different chronic painful conditions is unlikely, they're thinking. And so whether vitamin D can have beneficial effects in specific chronic painful conditions is just going to need further investigation. Now, remember I was sharing with you that exposure to sunlight is the best way to get your vitamin D, but everything in moderation, right? So overexposure to sunlight, especially the hot midday sun, can result in skin damage and actually increase the risk of skin cancer. You might be needing somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 30 minutes of sunlight, just depending on your complexion. Look it up. Talk with your doctor. Do what works for you. Be right back. I can see clear.